Here at Loch Associates Group, people are our business. Use our Flexi Retainer against any of our employment law, HR, health and wellbeing, and mediation services. All at a price that suits your business and with no long-term contracts. Use this time to recover and grow your business and let Loch Associates Group deal with your people needs. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. I want to say a huge thank you to our new show sponsor. We're pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet. Spinnerjet are a facilities management company, commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing, and much, much more. If you want to find out more about what they do, drop them an email at info@spinnerjet.co.uk. Huge thank you to Spinnerjet for supporting the Business Bunker show. One or two people are reporting problems with listening in, and I'm not sure how. We've tried everything, and everything seems to be working, and lots of people are listening in, so I'm not really sure what's happening for people. It might be isolated to a particular area of the country that's having broadband problems, I guess, but we seem to be broadcasting fine at the moment. I'm going to introduce you to our next guest now. I think that's the best thing to do. I caught up a few days ago with Tim Cullen. Tim runs Mint DJs. They're a collection of DJs that work together. And they also work with a group called My Wedding Professionals. And they're a group of people that stage weddings and events such as that. So let's catch up with them and hear what they had to say. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker show, Mr. Tim Cullen of Mint DJs. Tim, welcome. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me. It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, no, thank you very much for having me. How are you? Are you all right?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. And you're looking good. It's a lovely afternoon and just right for a chat. Why don't we kick off, Tim, by first of all telling us about you and your business, Mint DJ Services. So tell us a bit about that, and then we'll move on to talk about some of the other stuff that you're involved in.
Yeah, sure. No worries at all. Well, like I say, my name's Tim. I run Mint DJs. It's basically a team of DJs. So we run a team of about 15 DJs based in Tunbridge Wells, in Kent. And we do, we provide DJs and music for all sorts of events, normally, for wedding, corporate events, birthdays, some club nights. So the main thing we do is DJs, but we also supply sound systems, lighting rigs, dance floors, and also live musicians to play alongside DJs as well. So anything to basically bring a good party to
So would it be fair to say you're kind of like a music agency, events agency? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. But yeah, like I say, it's DJing is the most important thing that we do. I mean, I've been a DJ for about 25 years.
Don't look old enough, Tim.
Yeah, I'm only 26. it's all I've ever loved, all I've ever done, and I'm absolutely hooked on it, basically. So, yes.
Okay. And I know that you're based in West Kent. Is this a service you provide locally, regionally, nationally, internationally? How does that work?
Oh, well, I mean, I have done many gigs internationally. I work closely with Ministry of Sound, so I have done a lot of world tours with them. But my company, Mint, is mainly based in the southeast. So most of our venues and clients are in the Tunbridge Wells / West Kent area, but we can travel all over the place. We do a lot down in East Kent. We do a lot in London, actually, and slightly further afield as well. So, as long as anywhere within about an hour and a half of Tunbridge Wells is absolutely fine. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, though, that of course, as we're all acutely aware these days, the pandemic and the lockdown have severely curtailed our ability to meet other human beings in different settings. And I'm not asking you to comment on this. This is my comment. And our government have been less than useful in terms of letting us know what we can and can't do on any given day.
And this week we have a new set of rules that we're supposed to adhere to that may or may not apply to weddings and funerals, but certainly do apply to people at home. So it's a confusing time that we're in at the moment as well. And for anybody planning an event, especially a wedding, it's really not very easy, is it? Because you just don't know what's going to be the situation when it finally occurs.
Oh no, it's a nightmare for all of our brides and grooms. I mean, we're trying to keep track on, you know, obviously they're going to have to, they've had to postpone, mainly to next year. Most people have just gone, you know what, we're not going to do it in 2020, just moved it to next year. And those ones we'll deal with when we come to them. But we're very lucky in a way that we're a team of DJs, which means that when people do move it to next year, we can, you know, we can deal with it.
Yeah.
I feel really sorry for individual musicians such as guitarists, who there's only one of them.
Yeah.
And as soon as they're booked next year, they can't take two bookings in a day. So they're going to really miss out. But yeah, there's been a lot of cancellations as well. And we've just got to stay on top of things and work very closely with our brides to make sure that they know they're well looked after.
Okay. Have you had any unusual kind of events that you've had to do so far? You know, like you and four people or whatever?
What, during lockdown? You know what? We've only actually done one event during lockdown.
Right, okay. That's, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no. Literally in the last 6 months, we've done one. We did an event at a lovely hotel in Tunbridge Wells called the Spa Hotel.
Yeah, man.
And they've got this lovely... Yep. So they've got a lovely big outside section. We did just big social distance event where everyone sat down and had a picnic. And the hotel provided a really nice picnic hamper with a bottle of Fizz and some really nice food. And it was just sort of like providing some nice background music while they sat and doing that. And we had a saxophonist and we played some nice chilled house music and stuff. It was a great event in the sunshine. And it was fantastic. Okay. So that was our taste, you know, of what we can do. But, you know, everything else has been moved.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Tim, is that you're also part of a group that I think is called My Wedding Professionals.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Will you tell us something about that group and what that's all about?
Yeah, of course, no problem. Well, I was very proud to be asked to be joined this group about 2 years ago, but basically it's a group of elite suppliers all to do with weddings. We're all Kent suppliers, and basically they've picked some great suppliers that are mainly Kent Wedding Awards winners as well, and people that are well respected. And there's one of each type. So there's one hairstylist, one florist, one DJ, one, you know, photographer. There's about 12 of us in total. Right. And we all meet up and we share ideas, we recommend each other, and we also do things like photo shoots.
Right.
So we go to hotels and obviously the bridal wear would dress a model, the photographer would come along and the florist will do their bits, and we put our stuff in magazines, so we all group together.
Right.
But seeing as I'm a trained sound engineer, I thought that I could give back to the group in some way, and we started recording these podcasts. Right. Especially during lockdown, it's been a really, really nice way of getting some messages out to our brides. So we've been interviewing each supplier individually.
Right.
And doing 20-minute or so podcasts, just, you know, channeling into each bespoke area. So one will be about hair, one will be about makeup, and we're,
right.
Brides can get some really good tips and tricks and learn some things and get some little nuggets of information.
Right.
For their big wedding day, which I'm sure they're, you know, they need as much positivity as possible at the moment. Yes.
Yeah, of course. So I think it's a brilliant idea, actually, and it's really good to get inside information on things. You know, when you're planning something like a wedding, presumably it's only something. Well, you've got to be careful these days. It's probably something you only do two or three times in your life. Whoops.
Yeah, there's not much repeat business from my end.
But of course, that means that when you are planning something like that, you know, from the potential bride and groom and the bride's mum's point of view, it's not something you've got a great deal of experience about. So the more information you can find out beforehand, the better, presumably. And hence, something like a podcast is a brilliant idea. Focusing on each of the separate things. I just think it's a great idea. So when did you launch it, Tim?
So now it's been going, we've now got about, let me try and remember this actually, I think there's 5 episodes up now, and we're launching one every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So every 2 weeks there's a new one that pops up, it appears on a Monday, and it's available on Deezer, on Spotify, on Apple Music, and all the main things, and if you search for My Wedding Professionals, it pops up. But yes, it's a... Yeah, we've really enjoyed doing it. You know what? I've learned so much about people that I've been working with. I mean, I never knew some of the little bits of information I learned about wedding hair and flowers. I mean, it's really useful for me as a supplier as well to learn more
It's one of the beautiful things about doing radio or podcasts or anything like that. When you do talk radio, as I do, it's brilliant because you meet loads and loads of people and you get loads and loads of information on things that you wouldn't remotely come across normally. and it's one of the things that makes it so enjoyable to do that kind of thing. So I get entirely what you're saying about doing a podcast like that. Mm. And of course, podcasting and radio and audio of any kind is really big at the moment, isn't it?
Of course, with, you know, obviously now people are, you know, getting out and about more, which is fantastic, but of course when people have been at home more, yes, they're going to tune to radios and listen to podcasts. I did quite a few live DJ streamings during lockdown as well, which helped my mood, and it hopefully helped other people's mood as well. It was really good for the soul. I realize, you know, how much DJing is such a integrated part of me now that, you know, I didn't DJ for quite some time. And then when I did this event at the Spa Hotel, you know, my mood lifted dramatically. And you kind of just forget how much you need it for your mental health as well.
Yeah. So, you kind of miss playing Hi Ho Silver Lining once a week, that kind of thing. Yeah, sorry about that.
You know what? I haven't played Hi Ho Silver Lining for a very
long time. You know what? No one requested it, Tim. I can't believe that, really.
No.
And coming back to the podcast and the group and the kind of things that you're talking about, have you done or are you planning to do or have you thought about talking about the kind of venues and the kind of setup that we think that you can have at the moment? You know, are you looking at saying, you know, because, you know, there's lots of we're lucky in Kent. There's lots of lovely places in Kent and East Sussex for staging weddings. But of course, quite a few of them aren't open at the moment. And even though the rules change and say, well, you can, a lot of them just aren't opening anyway because they can't afford to. So is that something that you think you might look at or indeed may have looked at in terms of telling people what the availability of different places is?
Yes. Well, obviously what we're doing at the moment is individually interviewing each member of the team, and our specialist subjects are what we do. I've been interviewed myself and I know about wedding DJing. When it comes to giving advice over these circuit situations, we've done one podcast where we actually interviewed Kelly from County Wedding Events and My Kent Wedding. Yeah. And she was much more in a position to give more advice as a whole. Do you know what I mean? When it comes to venues and, you know, because we've obviously got to be a little bit careful about any advice we give. We are looking to interview, once we've got through the team, we're definitely going to look to interview some people that are, you know, high caliber business people within the wedding circuit, and they can really get into the nitty gritty of advice for venues and that sort of thing. But yeah, when we come to our individual topics, we're trying to keep to those for tips and tricks for weddings.
And do you see, as you say, you've got a finite number of members in the group and some other plans to do things. Do you see, though, keeping the podcast going and looking for other topics and stuff? Is it something that you want to continue?
Yeah, we're going to carry on going, and we're going to get probably two or three suppliers in next time when we're allowed to, of course. Yeah. So we'd have maybe the ones that complement each other, like the Forest and the Dress. Because they kind of go hand in hand as well. So we get both of them in and they can have a good discussion. The first ones are really just getting to know everyone. Yeah. And then we're going to you know, match people up. We'll start interviewing people at venues as well.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, industry leaders and all sorts of other people as well. So it's like you said before, it's a really good chance to get to know other areas of the business and get to know more people as well. So it's a good...
Absolutely. When did you actually launch the first podcast? When did it first start going out?
I should know that. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'll have to dig up the first.
Yeah, no, don't worry. Was it a matter of a few weeks ago, a few months ago, last year?
Oh, well, we've got now 5 up, and it was every 2 weeks, so it was about 10 weeks ago.
Okay.
So that lands in whatever it was, July, August.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. you lose track of where we are, don't you? I mean, you just do. I mean, it could be any day of the week at the moment. Who knows? Absolutely. So, what's the uptake like? You know, how have your listeners been reacting to it? Are you getting good listenership, or is it still building at the moment?
Yes. We had a really good initial listeners come online. We can keep track of everything. We've had not just Kent. Obviously, most of our listeners are in Kent.
Yeah.
But we've had listeners all around the world. We've got people in America tuning in. People in Australia. You know, weddings are obviously very. International and sure. Tips and tricks go further afield, so it's great to get out to other places other than just the UK as well.
And it's wonderful. It's one of the beauties of the internet and doing anything digital. Like, you know, as a radio station, we're online, and although the Business Bunker is primarily focused at businesses in the southeast, we actually have regular listeners from America, from France, from Turkey, from Luxembourg, just all over the place. And in fact, last week we actually had a guest from North Carolina who'd been a regular listener to the show and said, you know, can I come on? And we, yeah, go on, why not? So it is good, isn't it, that you know the reach of things like podcasts is great like that, because anyone can listen, basically.
Yes, absolutely. And with the app on the phone now, it makes it very easy to stream, search, and listen on the go. You know, people, so sometimes, you know, music is a fantastic thing to listen to wherever you are. But I personally find that podcasts and listening to speech is a really good way of getting about, especially when driving, because it's like having a friend in the car. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, sure.
It's proven to keep people awake as well. Hearing voices and being a DJ and traveling late at night, you know, sometimes 2 in the morning back from gigs normally.
Yeah.
When you're listening to voices, it keeps you more awake. So I'm always listening to podcasts and I love them.
Yeah, you know, no, absolutely. And there's a lot of good stuff around, isn't there? Depending on what your take of it is. I'm a great one for listening to podcasts as well.
Yeah.
Tim, it's been fantastic talking to you. First of all, let's tell our listeners, if they want to find out about you and Mint DJ services, what's the best way of doing that?
Okay, yeah. So the website is mintdjs.co.uk or on Instagram at mintdjs and Facebook as well.
Fantastic. And if they want to find out about My Wedding for Professionals and the podcasts, how do they do that?
Yep. So it's myweddingprofessionals.co.uk, and we're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook as well. And for the podcasts, so basically just do a little search on whatever your platform is, whether it be Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, or any of those. Just do a little search for My Wedding Professionals, and you'll see the pink logo pop up, and that's the one to subscribe to.
Fantastic. We will put all those links onto the radio website, and they'll be on the radio website. Tim, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Keep on keeping on, and I'm going to have a listen to your podcast.
Thanks very much. Well, thank you for having me. And just a quick note to all our brides and grooms, keep your chin up, keep smiling, and just see it as more preparation time. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care now.
This is Channel 2.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing, and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Tim Cullen there of Mint DJs and My Wedding Professionals. Fantastic stuff. We got loads of stuff to do. We got loads of things to catch up with. And I also want to talk with Bird more about what she's been up to, because it's fascinating stuff. So I'm going to run through a few tweets and just give people shout-outs, ask for shout-outs. So Terry Botfield, afternoon all, having a great show. Shout out for business mentoring to build and sustain your business. Free initial session with Terry. Email him to book terry@botfield.net, B-O-T-F-I-E-L-D, terry@botfield.net. Huge shout out to the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, MPSL on the Twitter. They're surveyors and commercial property consultants based over there in Medway. And a huge shout out to Martin and my charity buddy. And Martin, I've seen a lot of your tweets joining in with the things on the show. Sorry I haven't read them all out. It's incredibly busy here and we're doing all kinds of stuff. But thank you for participating in the conversation, and I will try and read them out as soon as I can. What have you got, Bird?
Oh, I've got loads. Yep. Okay, so you know we were talking about how the networking meetings are going to happen. So remember Marsh Network, they obviously started a great system and now they've gone online. So the next Marsh Network online meeting is at 10:30 Wednesday, the 14th of October in the Zoom room. You need to go to www.wibblywobblyway.eventbrite.co.uk and then put in Marsh Network online networking. And there you can do one-to-one meetings to discuss collaborations, find out about the latest government support schemes and contribute to what's going on. I thought you were going to jump in then.
No, go on.
Well done. Even though you're smirking, I like it. That's called control. What's going on out there and how should we respond?
Cool. The Recovery Well have tweeted, hi Vanilla Web, I'm actually able to tune in today and I'm listening live. Please give the Recovery Well a mention as we complete our first business year tomorrow. There's a prize draw worth £35 to celebrate. Hope you have a great day. So do give them a follow on Twitter. Their Twitter handle is Recovery Well, all one word, and find out about their prize draw. And congratulations on your first year in business.
And what a
first
year.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if you've survived this, you'll survive anything. So,
what I'd like to know is, have you done business before? Was this your first year ever in business?
Business, yeah.
And are you going into next year? Yeah. And are you going for year two?
Honestly, it's not normally like this.
No, it's not, is it? I think that's the thing. If you've never... It always reminds me, Jack, we used to go snowboarding and Jack had never come with us. He was very scared and whatever. Anyway, we took him for the first time. We took him up to the slopes and there was this massive snowstorm and he came down going, how do you ski in this? He didn't know any different. So he only turned up in the first day where there were these horrific conditions. And that's what I would say to you is, business isn't normally like this.
Yeah.
These are horrific conditions you're in. So if you survive this, wait until the sun shines.
Absolutely.
Okay, FSB Kent, Women in Business, big Zoom brunch. This is Thursday, the 12th of November, 10 a.m. till 11:30. You can join the FSB chair for Women in Business, Deborah Turner. I love Deb. She's one of my best mates. For solid 90 minutes at the best networking you can get this side of Christmas. Meet individuals in the Zoom breakout rooms. Make new business contacts. Have fun and learn something new from fellow female entrepreneurs. You need to go to
www.fsb.org.uk
and then go into Women in Business and you can see it there.
Fantastic. I had a Women in Business one as well that I was going to read out, and I can't.
I've got loads of them. Have you given them to me? Because I'm a woman.
I might have done. I thought I had it to read out because there's the one with Taz. Oh, you read the one with Taz already, didn't you?
That would be equal, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's equality right there, Mr. Andrews.
Yeah, you got them all. Yeah.
Here.
What?
I still can't enter these.
Why?
Maidstone Awards 2020 or Ashford Awards 2020.
I know you can enter the Ashford Awards now.
No, I can't. What, from Africa?
From Rwanda. yeah.
No, that would be funny. You can't come from Folkestone, Bird, but you can do it from Africa. Uh-huh. Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout out about them. Why not enter the Maidstone Awards 2020 or Ashford Awards 2020? Do it now. It's free. Go on to
www.businessawardskent.co.uk. Cool.
You can now talk if you want.
Yeah, no, I'm still getting messages from one or two people that were struggling to listen for some reason, but everybody else is fine, so I'm not really sure what the problem is. There's a virtual business support on the government kickstart program taking place manana tomorrow, Wednesday the 7th of October, 11:15 to 12:30. Join us for a supportive Q&A session with the Department of Work and Pensions to find out about the government kickstart scheme and more. If you want to register for that, it's fsb.org.uk/event calendar/virtual business support. fsb.org.uk/event calendar/virtual business support.
Excellent. Okay, FSB Kent, maximise your membership Wednesday the 14th of October, 11 till 12. There are now more than ever is the time to make sure you're making the most of your FSB benefits. I agree. I think this is where you can go to actually find out more about everything. Go on to FSB. So www. I nearly forgot.
You nearly forgot, Bird.
www.
Wiley Winsome Wonderful.
fsb.org.uk again. Go into there. Kent, maximise your membership.
Cool.
Have you not got an email? Have you done it again? You've given them all to me, haven't you?
No, I've got loads. Look.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Well done. It's only taken you, how long have we been together? 5 years on this?
Yeah.
I've hardly got any long ones. Do you know what?
I did it on purpose. I went, do you know what? She always moans about the long ones. So I've got all the long ones.
5 years it's taken me.
Look, I've got all the long ones and you've got all the short ones. But I've got a short one here. FSB Kent, how to effectively manage your finances and your mental health. This is taking place on Wednesday, the 21st of October, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. This virtual event will explain financial support options that are available to you and signpost mental health resources to keep you and your staff healthy. You can register for it by going to fsb.org.uk/event calendar. FSB Kent, how to manage your finances.
Difficult. Difficult.
Yep.
What would you do? Quick, short, sharp. If somebody came up to you and said, blah, what would you do? What would be the first thing that you would do?
If they said blah about what?
Anything. So that we know everything's going on at the minute. We've all got different levels of privilege. That's how I'm calling it at the minute. What would you say is the first thing to everybody, like a blanket sentence that you could go, do this?
Oh, that's a toughie.
I know.
My first reaction would be, don't panic.
Okay.
Yeah. There's so many things that they could be suffering with. So it could be cash flow issues. It could be strategic business. So if you own a pub, you know, or a hotel, you're dead in the water at the moment.
So do you close the doors, lock up the business, chuck the keys away, and then start a new business?
Well, that's what I was coming to. If it's a financial issue, yeah. As well, because there are different levels here. If it's purely a financial problem, i.e. you're hemorrhaging money and you're not making any income, then what you have to do is minimise your costs and mothball as much as you can. Yeah,
and you do that in your life as well, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to stay on top of things. One of the sad things here is that people's approach to business and managing their finances in general has come home to roost. Yeah, because you should do this in the best of times, not just in the worst of times. You should have a handle on your numbers, right? So, for instance, I've got a business that has very high overheads. That has been drastically badly affected by what's happened with COVID. So what I have to do is cut those overheads, and I have to take whatever action is necessary in order to reduce those overheads by mothballing certain parts of the business until such time as you can recover them. Yeah.
Okay, so do you mind if we use you as an example?
No, go for it.
Okay, so first thing is it not better to have lower overheads anyway?
Yes, it is, but sometimes they get away from you. Yeah, and what I mean by that is there are certain things that you can buy and things you can do and things you can spend money on when you have revenue. So if you have a revenue stream coming in, you can go, oh, do you know what? We'll spend a couple of grand on advertising this week, or we'll put an advert on the telly, yeah, which costs a lot of money, yeah. But your business model is such that it's a risk, but it's an acceptable risk, okay? If you then sign a contract to have Sky adverts, I know because I've been there, you know, I've had TV adverts and they're expensive. And you sign a contract to put adverts out for 6 months and then halfway through that you've got nothing to sell, you have a problem. But that's not necessarily something you've done wrong. It's just circumstances has come along. So what you would do is you go, do you know what? We need to keep marketing. And there's no doubt about that. We need to keep marketing, but we need to look at our marketing spend and how effective it is. Yeah. So should we switch more to social media, which is cheaper, and less to, you know, TV and radio and newsprint or whatever? So you've got to be on top of your business. By all means, never stop altogether, because that's, you know, then you end up starting from scratch, and that's never a good thing. But you've just got to manage within what you can what you can manage, basically. And there's not a definitive answer. A lot of people are going to go bust because they were highly leveraged, with debts and overdraft, and that's just going to get worse. And of course, what a lot of people aren't taking into account, a lot of the government schemes have got to be paid back. If you've deferred your VAT, you've got to pay it at some stage. And of course, one of the biggest things with this pandemic and this lockdown, and one of the most dramatic effects on business, it stopped the pipeline. So that when it reopens, you have nothing. Yeah, there is no business because you haven't generated any business. There's no business pipeline. So almost every business that has been badly affected by this, because some businesses have carried on and have actually improved because of what they do. But if yours is a business that hasn't, you're effectively starting from scratch. And there's a long period of time in which you're not going to have revenues, but you're going to have costs. And you've also got to carry, you've got to pay the debts you've already incurred. That's going to kill a lot of businesses.
It's always the same, though. It's operating cash flow, isn't it? It's always the thing.
It is. I mean, there's nothing new in anything that's happened like that. It's just that it's all been forced on us. And it's all happened to everybody at the same time. Yes. So the effects are going to be devastating, and they're going to be like a whole series of dominoes, you know, because the whole problem is I've got a business, I'm trying to sell you, but your business is suffering. So you're cutting your costs and you're going, well, I'm not going to advertise with you, or I'm not going to buy your products, or I'm not going to buy your services because I can't afford it at the moment. And you've got that whole series of dominoes, and that whole chain of cause and effect has been decimated. And that is where the problem kicks in. And that, in my humble opinion, is what the politicians just do not understand. That it isn't as simple as we're going to open again in a couple of months' time and it'll all go back to normal.
I agree.
It ain't.
No.
And no amount of green jobs is going to change that either.
Mm.
Sadly.
Mm. Oh, well, aren't you Mr. Happy today?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be tough.
What I like is we're doing is being really honest. And I don't think we're all honest enough about all of this. That's what I'm not hearing. I want to talk about the sense of this rather than, it'll all be great, or the world's going to be a better place, or that, okay.
I mean, there are businesses that have made hay. And fair, I'm not moaning at them,
There always is.
Yeah, retail has recovered enormously, grocery retail, Tesco's and Sainsbury's and people like that and Amazon have been hiring like mad because they've been open all the way through this and they've been doing lots of stuff, and quite right too. And then you've got all the people that have transitioned into manufacturing PPE and hand sanitizer and stuff like that, and they're just pivoted businesses. They will go back to doing what they used to do, and quite right, they've found something that they can do effectively to get through this.
Don't you think this is like a model of war as well? This happens in war, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You get companies that disappear, you get companies that absolutely thrive, and you get companies that pivot. It's the same.
Exactly. And unfortunately, with most of these things, it's us small businesses that suffer the most because we don't have the wherewithal to hang in there. We don't have the wherewithal to pivot completely. You know, we just don't. So it tends to be small businesses that get hit the hardest. And that has a huge effect because it's actually small businesses that employ most people. But there you go. Talking about such things as small businesses, would you like to represent small business in local council board and stakeholder meetings?
I've said this to you forever.
Have you?
I have.
You want to do it?
No, I can't do it. Can I? I'm going. Right. But I've said to you forever, stop whinging, stop moaning about all this, stop ranting and get in the arena. Haven't I said that to you forever?
Yeah.
And you've said?
No.
There we are.
Yeah, there you go. We're looking for driven, passionate business owners
who
understand Kent and what
you.
It's like to run a small business. You would attend meetings, mostly online for the foreseeable future, share the FSB's key policy messages and research while raising the profile of your own firm, then feedback any key points to the Kent FSB team. If you're interested in playing a role in this, please contact the FSB Development Manager for Kent and Medway, Alison Palmer. You can email Alison at alison.palmar, P-A-R-M-A-R, at fsb.org.uk.
That wasn't you at the end bit then.
Mm?
That wouldn't be you going to committee meetings.
No, I don't do. I don't do committee meetings.
Or feedback. No.
I don't do committee meetings, me. Yeah.
No.
What you got?
Oh, I've got loads, but they're short, sharp, because my friend, he's only taken 5 years to give me a short, sharp one. That's amazing. Here we go. Do you offer accredited green or sustainable environmental products and services and want to reach more customers? Check out our new Green Business Hub platform, which is called greenbusinesshub.eco. Eco. Nice.
Cool.
Do you want me to carry on?
Yeah, go for it.
Bounce Back Loan Scheme closes on the 4th of November. Many small business owners have benefited from this financial support. Between £2,000 and £50,000, no repayments for 12 months. 2.5 interest loans are available through at British B Bank Lenders. So that's www.britishbusinessbank.co.uk.
As I was saying earlier about VAT deferrals, I've got an email from HMRC.
How are they?
If you defer payments that were due between the 20th of March and the 30th of June 2020, then these payments need to be made to HMRC by the 31st of March 2021. You can use the new payment scheme to spread these payments over equal instalments up to the 31st of March 2022. So you've got a year to pay it off. Alternatively, you can make payments as normal by the 31st of March 2021 or make time to pay arrangements with HMRC if you need a more tailored support. There's also a new self-assessment self-serve time to pay scheme. So if you're deferred paying your July 2020 payment on account, you will need to pay the deferred amount in addition to any balancing payment and the first 2020-21 payment on account by the 31st of January 2021. I'm sure that's all really clear.
Yes.
Are you following this?
Yep. No, I'm reading my book, actually. I was like, I'm going to ask him a question from my book.
Show us the book.
And it's here.
Right.
Do you want one?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Is this the size you don't like?
This is the size I don't like. It's two pocket. It needs to be a little bit bigger because, look, a book's an experience, so you need to be able to hold it, bend it. What's that?
Is it?
Oh, you know what? I found that in a piece of paper. That's a piece of paper with my daughter's handwriting on from a 9-year-old saying, I love everybody in the world.
Apart from you, apparently.
Yeah, apart from me.
Here.
Thanks.
Yeah,
anyway.
Without putting a spoke in the works, I kind of like that size.
Oh, it doesn't matter. My gut,
you don't
my
care
intuition
about me.
Is telling me it needs to be a little bit bigger. So it's going to go 5x8 rather than 6x4.
Yep.
Actually, 5x7 rather than 5x8.
So almost A5, yeah.
You've got it, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... Anyway, so here's a question. Question 19.
Yep.
What have you learnt from love?
Pain. That's a really tough question because it all depends on what your focus of it is, isn't it, really?
So how would you have answered that if I've asked you something?
Well,
in mind, the interview, I don't ask the questions in order.
Mm.
So I'll get them to start off with the main question first and then we go and I'll ask it as they guide me through the interview. Well,
my initial response was pain.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's because of what I thought about when you said the word love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what came to mind straight away was kids.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And family. And why I said pain is because having children can be worrying, anxious, especially when they're very young. Having said that, my kids have grown up and I still worry about them.
This is the worst stage now in my children's life is now.
Yeah.
I'm finding this hard.
Yeah. Because you love them so much and because you want them to be happy and healthy and well and all the rest of it, anything that happens to them, my youngest phoned me a couple of weeks ago and he went, oh, you never guess what's going on. I'm like, what? He said, there's a gun battle going on outside my flat. What? And he videoed it and there were people in the street shooting each other. Yeah. He does live in South London. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say in France then.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. And literally he videoed four blokes shooting at each other in the street outside. And I'm going, Stu, you've got to leave there. No, it's brilliant. It's funny. No, it's not.
Yeah. No, it's not. Another question.
Yeah.
What do you understand today because of what happened yesterday? Not literally in...
Yeah.
Metaphorically. What do you understand today because of what happened yesterday?
So what lessons have I learnt from life, effectively? Blimey. Loads and loads and loads.
Share.
And what initially comes to mind, that I think, do you know what? I think the biggest lesson I've learnt in life is things aren't as they seem. That everything needs to be evaluated from I want to use the term research point of view, but basically don't take things at face value anymore, especially now. On things like social media, you know, I saw something yesterday posted on social media and my instant reaction was, that's dreadful. I'm not having that. It's awful. And then I'm thinking, hold on a minute. It's social media. How true is it? And then when you start to look, it's fabricated. It's not true. It's, you know, made up. And the problem is, it's really easy to make things up. It's really, you know, even, you know, once upon a time, people used to say a photograph never lies. Well, of course, they do all the time now. You can even change people's faces on videos. Yeah, so the technology exists to be completely fake. So I think the biggest lesson I've learned is never to take anything at face value, but to check everything.
Mm.
And that sounds cynical, but it actually serves me in really good stead because I don't overreact to things. And too many people overreact to things that probably aren't true.
So would you then think that your gut instinct is wrong so that you allow time, or is your gut instinct always proven right over time?
I would say, just in pure guess terms, that my gut instinct is right about 70% of the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think the power of gut instinct is to make you stop and think. And I think it's part of the same thing that I'm saying, that if something inside you goes, hold on a minute, check that. Yeah. That's all you need. You need to not have that instant emotional triggering, because that's where so many of us get into trouble, that we get instantly emotionally triggered. And then it's hard to come back from that. And you see that all the time. Social media is a great way of looking at the failings of human behaviour, because you see it so often. Somebody will go with something, and even when you give them the most definitive data that proves they're wrong, they find it very hard to go, do you know what, I was wrong.
Mm.
They'll keep doubling down. They'll go with cognitive dissonance. They'll just try and make up any old excuse to make themselves right.
Last question. Yeah. Last question. Here you go. What have you tolerated and then that you wouldn't tolerate now?
Um, I'm a very tolerant person. And
well, I have Amanda laughing in the background. Yeah, yeah, I'm going, he isn't tolerant.
No, I'm quite a tolerant person. And
I would agree with you, actually.
And the reason that I'm tolerant is because I'm old. I've been around a long time. And I recognise that things that happen aren't the definitive end of anything.
Okay, so answer the question. What have you tolerated?
I can't think of anything. That's what.
And then what you wouldn't tolerate now? So have you tolerated something in the past that there is no way you would tolerate now?
To be honest, I can't really think of anything. No, not
interesting.
I can't think of anything that I've put up with. Because I was always quite feisty anyway. When I was younger, I was, you know, I ain't putting up with that. You can take
that.
So
you tolerate more now than you did?
I tolerate more now than I did when I was younger.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a great example of the gender difference.
Yeah.
Women, out of those 10 women, they do not tolerate now what they tolerated then.
Yeah. And when I say tolerate it, it doesn't mean to say I necessarily accept it as the truth or whatever. I just go, do you know what? It's you being an arse. rather than try to fight it. When I was younger, I would have stood up and fought it. And I did quite often. And I go, I don't agree with this. I don't think this is right. And, you know, it's why I got into so much trouble at school. Because I'd go, this is nonsense. This, what are you talking about? Why are you telling me this? Whereas now I will tolerate it. Tolerate things,
but we've lost the meaning of what the actual word tolerate means. So I like looking at the meaning of a word, the etymology, is it? I think it is. I can never say it right.
Entomology
of the word. And actually, to tolerate does not just mean, oh, I'm going to tolerate your bad behavior, therefore there's a negative actually tolerate is not where it came from. It actually is quite a loving, endearing presence of a word. Yeah, anyway, we could carry on. So you could be at my 60 decade.
I could, yeah. I certainly could, if you're quick, because I've not got long left.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm halfway through my 60s decade.
You're 65 now?
I'm 65.
When did that happen?
In August. I got my bus pass and everything.
Yeah. No, you never.
I did.
Have you been on it yet?
No, we don't have any buses where I live.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
What? You do.
No, it's only one.
Well, it's only because you're so posh and you live out in the sticks, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We don't have public transport.
No, we don't.
Here.
There's only one bus in Tenterton and it goes twice a day to the station in Headcorn, and I don't want to go to the station in Headcorn.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
We all have cars in Tenterton.
Exactly.
We don't need public transport.
Chauffeurs.
Darling.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so you've got to be quick, otherwise I won't be in my 60s for too much longer.
Well, this will be done in 2.5 years now.
Right, so you're off to Africa.
I am.
When are you going exactly?
2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time.
Yeah. We've now got it open. Africa is now open to us diseased people.
Excited? Nervous? Scared?
No.
Okay.
None. Just got to get... none of those things. I don't even know an emotion to describe it.
Right. Really?
No, seriously.
You're not excited?
No. I think if this had happened when it should have happened, I think I would have had that emotion. But I think the uncertainty has literally taken all of that away.
Do you think it might still not happen?
Yeah. Because it's literally so uncertain with a certainty.
Yeah.
So
it's like anything, though, isn't it? You can't do anything. I went to France. I was there 2 weeks, quite happy. On the day I was due to come back, I get an email, I get a text from the government saying, "You can't. If you come home now, you're going to have to quarantine."
Yeah.
You can't plan anything because you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
So the intention, all I can do is set my intention. My intention is that we are going in 2 weeks' time, dog and all, leave the children as it should be.
Right. Okay. At a kids' priest.
Yes.
So did they get the house to themselves? Is that what happens?
Yes.
They must be well up for this.
Yep. Do you like my retort to you? Yep.
Yeah. I need to read this
go on.
Because we're going to go off air in a minute, and it's from Amanda. And it's a tweet, and she says, "So great to hear Bird on the airwaves again. We've missed her pirate tones." Yeah. "Please give a huge shout out to the Kent business community who have been amazing in their support to me on starting a new business, which is running a horse and livery yard." We've had so many messages of support and encouragement. It's been absolutely fantastic. And to be fair, I'm really proud of Amanda. She's worked incredibly hard to make this happen. She's got a lot of work to do, and she's been getting up in the crack of sparrows. 4 o'clock in the morning she got up the other day, but I think that was mostly because she was churning it over in her mind as much as anything else. But she's been working really hard to get it up and running, and she's doing a fabulous job, and we're all really proud of her. But we're also very thankful to all the support we've been getting from everybody in the Kent business community. So thank you. So 2 weeks' time, Bird.
So this is our farewell, because we were going to do a farewell show. So this isn't it?
But
I've had a ball.
And we've missed you as well. But once you're there and you're the breakfast DJ on Rwanda FM.
They don't think I talk like a pirate, by the way.
No, they wouldn't know, would they?
No.
No, they wouldn't be able to tell.
They think Stephen's English and that I've got a weird accent. Go figure. He's Scottish.
Yeah, exactly.
Thick Glaswegian
accent. Yeah. I'm gonna try and listen online. Hopefully, I can listen online to that. But I like your other suggestion, which is when the books are finally published, I want to do a Zoom recording with you from Africa. Talking more about this and looking at everything that's going on, and also getting your views on how things have panned out in the first couple of months of your new life and your move, because that'll be fascinating. Yeah, because it really is different. You know, there's one thing going to live in France or Australia.
Sure.
It's quite a different thing to go and live in Rwanda, which 90% of the population have never even heard of, let alone know where it is.
Yeah. I mean, people think to me, you know, oh, it's really unsafe. It really isn't. It's the ninth safest country in the world.
Well, I guess everybody's perception of Rwanda is what happened during the Civil War.
For sure.
You know, with the Tutsi. And
30 years ago.
Yeah. And it was a long time ago, and it was horrendous and horrible.
Yeah.
But of course, it's moved on since then.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And we could talk about it forever.
Yeah. Cool.
So can I just say thank you. Thank you to you. Thank you to you as well, Paul, because honestly, what a journey we've had together.
It's been really great fun. Mm. We've had 5 or 6 years. I don't even know how long we were doing it together. We had 5 or 6 years of fantastic fun.
We have.
Doing really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And I was really sad from the point of view when you said you were going, and also losing the conversation, which was a great show that we had here on Channel Radio as well.
Yeah.
But of course, we all move on and we all do things, and the world's a connected place now. So it's not quite as bad as, you know, it used to be once upon a time when people moved away. You never heard from them again.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen. We've had loads of fun, and it has been great fun. And I'm sure we'll have some fun in the future one way or another.
I know.
Yeah. Cool. We've only got a couple of minutes left.
I don't know where 2 hours has gone.
I know. It does fly past, doesn't it? I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that's been part of today's show. I know one or two of you have had technical problems. We've looked as much things as we could look at, and we can't find what have caused the problems. But there do seem to be some internet problems in general out there in the marketplace. So I am sorry if you had a problem, but you will be able to listen to us on the catch-up service. I want to say a huge thank you to our show sponsors, the lovely people at Locke Associates Group, to my two guests, the fantastic, the gorgeous, the lovely pirate herself, Sarah Ann Lucas, Bird on a Bike. No, not Bird on a Bike.
Beautiful Brave Body.
Beautiful Brave Body, Bird. Bird's Beautiful Brave Body. to Tim Cullen of Mint DJs and my wedding professionals. Thank you all. Thank you all to the people that listened. Thank you everybody that participated and spoke to us on Twitter. If I didn't get to read your tweet, I am sorry. We just got inundated today with loads of different things. We had loads of people commenting, and then some people were listening to a different show to us and were commenting on that. So it all got a bit confusing. So where Shirley Bassey entered the fray, I have no idea,
but she did.
But we'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, everybody. Have a fantastic week. And we'll see you all again very, very soon, hopefully. Take care. Except me.
Bye.
Except Bird. And we wish Bird every success and much happiness in her new home, in her new country, on her new continent. But we'll be back next week here in Ashford.
Bye.
Bye for now.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
This is Channel 2.